The big story with Amina Taylor, who asked...
Now questions are being asked of Britain's role in arming and training its former colony.
Today, I authorized the armed forces of the United States to begin a limited military action in Libya.
Operation Odyssey Dawn, the International Coalition's military enforcement of UN Security Council Resolution 1973.
The Western Libyan War has started. The U.S. announced no timeline for its end.
U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has said there is no timeline for the end of military operations.
Is another Israel-Gaza war looming?
A string of Israeli military strikes on the Gaza Strip that began on Tuesday have left at least 10 people dead and over 50 wounded.
U.S. soldiers posing with dead Afghans. And mass defections in Yemen.
Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh's shaky grasp on power has eroded further, with more public figures defecting to the opposition.
Hi, I'm Kavit Afwai. I'll be bringing you those stories, plus a look at Iran's scientific achievements, along with Ratansian Ridley, whose guest explained when the U.S. uses Muslims' Sharia law, when it's to their advantage. Stay tuned for a jam-packed program. Starting off with Bahrain, we know of U.S.'s support for Bahrain, but what about the U.K.? Well, among other things, the U.K., just like the United States, is a major supplier of arms to Bahrain, as Amina Taylor finds out with her guests on the program, The Big Story.
The wave of Arab revolution has swept from North Africa to the Kingdom of Bahrain. But unlike Egypt and Tunisia, the Bahraini army brutally suppressed peaceful protests. Now questions are being asked of Britain's role in arming and training its former colony.
It's very close. In banking, for example, and Bahrain's wealth is to a very large extent based on banking.
Is Britain complicit in any of this?
Britain has had a long history with Bahrain. It was the colonial power. It has really kind of kept the Khalifa family in its pocket. It passes under the radar. It's not really in the interests of the British or American establishments to highlight what's going on, because Bahrain is a key ally in the region.
Another embarrassment for the UK is the fact that Britain is a major supplier of arms to the repressive Bahraini security forces.
In 2009, we sold around £3 million worth of weapons. In 2010, up till September, we sold around £5 million. So it's a rising amount of weapons.
Britain's military links to Bahrain are close. Even the Bahraini king was trained at the elite Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst, along with many of his army officers.
You've paid a personal price.
Every Bahraini has paid a price, varying in degree. Some people paid the ultimate price of being killed in the streets.
As Saudi troops occupy Bahrain, the country has become the new front line of global diplomacy.
This is the sixth or seventh time they've fired on protesters, yet protesters keep going back.
It is a story of people versus power. It is a story of a struggle for freedom. It is a story which, against all odds, the people won, only to see foreign troops on the horizon shatter their dreams.
What happens if this revolution fails?
Well, it's going to be
what happens to you?
Bit. Well, I'm not feeling secure, to be honest.
Operation Odyssey Dawn, an American title to the no-fly zone operation, although the U.S. has said they are not leading it. First, a look at the operation from the time it was launched.
Today, I authorized the armed forces of the United States to begin a limited military action in Libya in support of an international effort to protect Libyan civilians. That action has now begun.
So what we are doing is necessary It is legal and it is right.
Operation Odyssey Dawn, the International Coalition's military enforcement of UN Security Council Resolution 1973.
الشعب الليبي الشجاع يتصدى لهذا العدوان الاستعماري الصليبي بكل عزيمة قوية وثبات وشجاعة وصبر واستعانة بالله.
New attacks have been launched by Western forces near the western city of Misrata. Airstrikes targeted the airbase where the Libyan rulers' brigades are based. Western aircraft have fired more than 160 cruise missiles on Libya in recent days. Now a British commander claims that Gaddafi's air force has been totally disabled.
We are now applying sustained and relenting pressure on the Libyan armed forces. Their air force no longer exists as a fighting force.
But as the fighting continues, Gaddafi becomes more defiant, insisting he is ready for battle, be it long or short. The Western attack on Libya came after the UN Security Council passed a resolution authorizing the use of force to protect Libyan civilians. Despite its official UN-granted legality, the credibility of the military action is dwindling rapidly. More countries are turning against the attack, saying they're worsening an already difficult situation for the people of Libya. US Defense Secretary Robert Gates has said there is no timeline for the end of military operations.
No timeline? Is that what Robert Gates said? No timeline? Like the U.S.-led wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? As in, we don't know how long this operation might take? The same Robert Gates who said recently, you must be out of your mind for the U.S. to get involved in another war. Let's listen to that one more time with an analysis from documentary filmmaker and analyst Phil Reist, who was not as surprised as we were.
U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has said there is no timeline for the end of military operations, raising fears of more civilian casualties and even escalating rather than ending the civil war there.
In Britain last week, there was a lot of discussion about a no-fly zone, as if it was some kind of very nice, sort of very peaceful exercise that the West could impose to save civilian lives. But if you look at past no-fly zones, they haven't actually achieved anything by themselves. And in fact, they were preludes to very long engagements in Bosnia and in Iraq, which meant war.
Even France and Britain have said that without the United States, they would not be able to implement a meaningful no-fly zone.
The military action also seems to be threatening peaceful uprisings in other Arab countries. Just as Western warplanes and warships launched their attacks against Libya, Arab dictators escalated their crackdown on peaceful demonstrations. In Yemen, 52 unarmed protesters were killed and more than 200 wounded on Friday by forces of President Ali Abdullah Saleh. Similarly, in U.S.-allied Bahrain, at least more than a dozen civilians have been killed by Bahraini and Saudi forces. Interestingly, the U.S. has kept silent as the brutal repression has been taking place. This can indicate that if the foreign operation in Libya is about protecting civilians, then the U.S. is reserving the right to decide which civilians it wants to protect.
Iran's scientific achievements could not have been at the level that it is now were it not for the Western-imposed sanctions. A look at the program Iran Today, where we zoomed in on the laser technology, and then the program Iran with Hamid Farajollahi, which looked at robotic technology.
این الگو رو جوری تنظیم کنیم که نتیجه این باشد که جامعه ایرانی ما به سمت معنویت بیشتر پیش بره.
Laser technology, cloning, medicine, aerospace, nanotechnology, and nuclear technology. Iran produces a wide range of lasers for the country's medical and industrial fields. Just two examples are focus laser, a source of intense radiation used to fragment kidney stones, and optic fiber laser, commonly used in medicine and industries like welding. Also, laser radiation can effectively be used for treating eye and skin problems, as well as cancer.
وقتی با لیزر میشه مخلوط‌ها رو از هم جدا کرد میشه از هم تفکیک کرد یکی از اینا هم تفکیک اورانیوم نمیدونم 235 و 237 و 238 و ایناست.
The idea of fully intelligent robots such as these is not far from reach. In this center, the technology of robots, androids and cyborgs have come a long way.
In this lab, more than 10 people work 365 days to program, design, maintain and operate these two robots for the upcoming competition.
The rescue and autonomous robots are two of this department's success.
This rescue robot is one of the most intelligent forms of robot that is being designed and created in this university.
خوشبختانه هم پیشرفت‌های کمی و هم کیفی بچه‌ها در کسب دانش روباتیک و شرکت در مجامع جهانی، حضور در عرصه‌های بین‌المللی و اخذ رتبه‌های شایسته.
The program Africa Today took a look at the turmoil in Libya, but it was the presenter who made the interesting point about why Middle Eastern and African countries stocked with Western military equipment and aircraft shouldn't be the ones. Well, let's watch this clip to find out what he said.
200 missiles and counting, but who knows how many casualties. He calls it the attack of a Hitler crusader army. They claim it's necessary, legal and right. And the rebels say, better late than never.
Support is waning for the ongoing airstrike on Libya after reports of dozens of civilian casualties. Some world leaders and the Arab League has condemned the military action.
What happened differs from the no-fly zone objectives. What we want is the protection of civilians, protection not shelling more civilians.
The US, Britain and France carried out airstrikes a day after the UN Security Council Resolution 1973 was approved. But they insist they are not going after the Libyan leader personally after bombing his compound. What then is the true aim of this military action? Africa Today asks whether the no-fly zone is legal and justified, or if it's really an excuse for invasion.
For the Muslim world and for the Arab world in particular, I think they're supposed to have, they should really change, the dramatic changes they must occur. Because if we have in place some kind of army that protect the people, and they are, and this never could happen, unless that we have democratic states. So if we got that in place, people will not resort to the UN to ask them for help.
Well, I think that there is a humanitarian need that speaks for itself. As my colleague here said, we would love to see the Arab world take responsibility and enforce a no-fly zone.
Many of them have bought weapons from the Western countries. I mean, when you see pictures like the ones we're seeing on our screen now of, you know, British Typhoons, Eurofighters, Tornadoes, French Dassault Rafale, a Mirage 2000, then you have the US with its B-2 stealth bombers and F-16s and AWACS. Do you not think this is an insult to the Arab nation that we have to call these people that some of us once called a great Satan to come in and impose this no-fly zone over our sovereign Libyan territory?
Is there another war looming in the horizon, namely one between Israel and Gaza? This past week, events seem to indicate that the tense situation has escalated.
A string of Israeli military strikes on the Gaza Strip that began on Tuesday have left at least 10 people dead and over 50 wounded.
No!
فتت يا شباب الجماعة استنوا شوي يسيبونا من هالتصوير
صورة
لا 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 امسنه امسنه لا لا
Israeli helicopters responded to the incident by firing missiles at targets within Gaza City.
While Gazans struggle to come to terms with the recent violence, Israel's opposition leader, Tzipi Livni, announced that the time had come for a fresh military campaign against Gaza.
Israel is trying to stop unity efforts between Palestinians. They have denied the PA acting chief permission to come to Gaza. These strikes are a method to prevent national unity. The world is preoccupied with Libya, and Israel is taking advantage of this by targeting Gaza.
Well, I have different reading of what is happening in Gaza. Mm-hmm. The reading started with the escalation from the Palestinian side at a time when every Palestinian except the Al-Jihad al-Islami, but every other group, including Hamas, were stating that we need calm. There is a sort of conformity among the Palestinian groups that at this stage we don't want to escalate the situation with the Israelis, and even some statements made by some Hamas leaders that these rockets are the interest of Palestine question is questionable by those who fired.
Yes, well, everybody
now,
was talking about calm.
Why it is at this stage? Why it is at this stage after the initiative of President Mahmoud Abbas? We see this escalation when it is not harming even a chicken in the Israeli side.
Well. While the Middle East region is reeling in uprisings, war is the last thing that it needs. Let's go back to the Libyan war and Phil Reese, who had this to say about the war there and how people had the wool pulled over their eyes.
People had the wool pulled over their eyes. I think people didn't realize that you can't have a nice war. You can't just have a sort of war that is just there to help others as if, you know, people are just being very friendly and nice. War kills people. And I think people are now realizing that this war will kill civilians, will do the very thing that it was aimed not to do. And once that happens, I think all of these countries will turn against it. And hopefully their voices will be heard.
Postcards in Iran. This is the focus in this section. One from the program Reporter's File, which focused on old Iranian postcards reflecting Iran's rich history. And then the program Iran, which looked at the artist behind Nowruz postcards, whose presenter, Hoda Lezgi, find out there's a lot more behind that artist than just postcards.
The Qajar dynasty ruled Iran from 1794 to 1925. During the Qajar's reign, Western science, technology, and educational methods were introduced into Persia, and the country's modernization was begun. Tourists who wanted their family and friends to be part of their trip to Iran sent them postcards, each showing a different angle from Iran's culture, art, and history.
Card postal ha yek lahzast ke fix shode. Man rajbe Iran. دارم از 1900 کارت پستال های تاریخی رو جمع آوری می کنم تا 1380 شمسی.
I think what Mehrdad is doing here is filling in a gap in Iran's visual history. Iran has been one of the most important countries to modernize in this way.
The attraction of the postcards is not limited to the picture itself, but the notes and the stamps have a lot to tell us as well.
We've been buying or receiving these greeting cards for various occasions. But how much do we know about the artists behind these paintings? Today we're going to learn more about Ali Akbar Sadeghi.
من روز 6 سال 7 سال خیلی جدی کار میکنم. صبح که
چشم باز میکنم میبینم هوا داره روشن میشه، خیلی خوشحال میشم، میگم که آخه دو ساعت دیگه میرم میشینم دوباره نقاشی میکنم از این حرفایی.
صادقی is an artist who is constantly reinventing himself. With the courage to break the rules, he is always inventing, experimenting, and taking risks.
In one 24-hour period, Yemen had close to a dozen resignations and diplomats resigning and defecting. It shows how bad not only the crisis is there, but how little the president has left in his power.
Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh's shaky grasp on power has eroded further, with more public figures defecting to the opposition. On Tuesday, the embattled president was hit by a wave of defections as a diplomat, a former minister, and several envoys announced support for anti-regime protesters, who are demanding an end to Saleh's 33-year rule. They're among a group of high-level officials, including military commanders, tribal leaders, and more than half of the country's foreign ambassadors who have abandoned Saleh. The mass resignations came after a bloody assault on a demonstration last Friday that left more than 50 protesters dead.
So the United States can blast Sharia law, a branch of Islam, when it wants to, but they can use it to their advantage when they want to. Well, such was the case of CIA contractor Raymond Davis, who was released when the U.S. used the Sharia law and bought his freedom while he was in custody in Pakistan.
But is it right that America turned to Sharia law for a solution here?
Absolutely. This is a bizarre situation. Again, that Americans have resorted to Sharia law and paid the money, and they are saying now, well, this is a Pakistani law. And so, you know, when it comes to, when it suits them, they can use Sharia law and say, it's a Pakistani law, so we will buy it, we will use it, and we will abuse it, of course.
Now, moving on to a case of blasphemy and anti-Muslim act. Another burning of Islam's holy book, the Holy Quran, in the United States. Why doesn't the U.S. get tougher on these anti-Islamic acts?
Jamaat Islami organized a protest to denounce the burning of a copy of the Holy Quran in the U.S. state of Florida. The act was carried out on March 20th by Pastor Wayne Sapp under the supervision of Maverick preacher Terry Jones. The Pakistani government also denounced the act, saying it is powerful enough to denounce what is wrong and unjust.
And we must be strong. Being strong means denouncing what is wrong, and violence, hatred, and intolerance are wrong.
As if the loss of civilian lives in the almost 10-year-old U.S.-led war in Afghanistan wasn't bad enough, now these pictures of U.S. soldiers have surfaced, showing that they were posing with dead Afghans while smiling, soon to be published by the German magazine Der Spiegel.
I'm standing in front of Der Spiegel Washington Bureau outside of the National Press Club. The magazine published some very astonishing photos of U.S. soldiers and Afghan civilians. That actual magazine hasn't been released to the public yet. This is actually an older copy. But U.S. military officials are concerned about when that magazine finally hits the newsstands.
That's because the pictures show U.S. soldiers posing with what looks like dead Afghan men. One soldier holds the bleeding man's head up, and then in another picture, a soldier is smiling. In a third picture, two men are tied together who appear to have been shot at, slumped up against a post.
They're really horrible pictures, and they show the soldiers as very brutal people, even if they weren't civilians, to be treating another dead body of a human being in this way.
Two entries from PressTV.ir received a lot of hits, and both involved Israel.
Israeli cyber attacks target PressTV. Cyber attacks launched against Iran-based English language news site PressTV from Israeli sources have failed to take down the website. It went on to say over the past 10 days, PressTV News website has been hit by distributed denial of service attack, DDoS, from Israeli sources. The attacks, however, have failed to bring the site down, reportedly due to formidable security systems integrated into the website. The next entry, Egypt warns Israel on a new Gaza war. Egyptian Foreign Minister Nabil El Arabi has called on Israel to show restraint in the wake of a bomb blast in Al-Quds, Jerusalem, that killed one and injured many. In a statement, Al-Arabi urged Israeli authorities to exercise self-restraint and avoid compounding a tense situation that would make it difficult to resume stalled negotiations with the Palestinians, a Press TV correspondent reported on Thursday.
Thanks so much for watching. Please send your emails to realitycheck@presstv.ir. Looking forward to seeing you next week.